Won't you come right now and share with us the Word of God? I'd say to you, Brother Chris, tonight, preach the Word, my brother. Just preach.
I want to read something real quick. We're singing this song right here, Stand on the Promises. It's really, you know, one verse has really got me. This is verse 5. Stand on the promises, I could not fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all, stand on the promises of God. Oh, that's very powerful. I sung it a minute ago. If you have your Bibles today, would you please turn to Mark chapter 5. In honor of God's Word, please stand. Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 21. It's about Jesus healing a woman with a blood disease and raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and suffered many things of physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard Jesus came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, and turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, sayest thou, who touched me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou, Master, any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. When he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them were with him, and entered and where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Nothing without you, Lord. You know my heart, Lord, and everything I do is for you, Lord. I ask you to be with me as I give this message, Lord. You put it in my heart. Thank you so much, Lord, for this calling you've given me again. And I'm new to this, Lord. You know it. Just give me the boldness and the courage and everything I need to honor you, Lord, and give you glory, God. It's all for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the story I'm going over, of course, is the woman who was healed of a plague of blood, and Jairus, whose daughter was raised from the dead. But most importantly, what these two had in common was their belief in Jesus. Now, two things they had in common, they suffered from was sin. Both of them became humble. Both of them bowed down. to Jesus' feet, which all would do one day. In verse 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet." And the woman in verse 33, who had the sickness of blood, fell to her knees too. "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." This is the same thing we all do whenever we are saved. You know, first God wants us to be humble. He wants us to bow down and tell him the truth, you know. This is the whole, right? This is the whole, right here, this is what happens to all of us. Now, Jairus, I'm not sure if you know or not, he was ruler of the synagogue. He was basically a manager of the synagogue. He was in charge of the daily duties. Who knows what they really were? I'm pretty sure it was charge of keeping the synagogue clean or whatever have it. But anyways, anytime Jesus encounters these Pharisees, these scribes, or these Sadducees, it's always entertaining. Because over and over, these people who he encounters always try to prove him wrong. But really, they're biggest hypocrites that are out there. They don't know the true word. They reject it.
Right.
And, you know, they're false teachers of the day, which also we have today. We're the false teachers of today. And these men claimed to be the religious men of that day, but they weren't. But in this case, when Jesus was dealing with Jairus, it was different. I'm pretty sure he heard Jesus teaching in the synagogue somehow, and he became a converted man. He had a change of heart, from what you see when you read this. He wasn't one of these Pharisees or scribes that came to him trying to humiliate him or trying to question him or trying to make him look bad. But instead, he fell to his feet because he needed a miracle. And something we all need whenever we fall to Jesus' feet, you know. Especially when we're saved, that's what happens, a miracle. But who did Jairus turn to in this? He didn't turn to the Pharisees. He didn't turn to the Sadducees. He didn't turn to the scribes. Because they didn't have his answer. And that's the main reason why he didn't turn to them. Pretty sure he wised up and then and knew they couldn't answer his problems. And he knew they could not save his daughter. Who did he turn to? He turned to Jesus. Just like we all should.
Right.
And we all end up doing whenever we are in the worst situation of our lives. This nation we live in of today, the majority, when we have problems, they don't turn to Jesus. What do they turn to? They turn to counselors. They turn to psychics. They turn to everybody else but Jesus. The majority of people they turn to, one thing they have in common, they're not godly. They're ungodly. You know, they have nothing to do with the Word. They have nothing to do with the true Word of God. So they can't really help anybody like, you know, this Bible can. So in verse 36, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid, only believe.' In this day and age, be not to believe." Sorry. "In this day and age, be not to be afraid, but only believe."
Right.
It's a command by God to be not afraid, only believe. You know, we need not to be stressed, panic, freak out. Whenever trouble comes our way, whenever this world sends something to us like that, God says not to be afraid, to only believe. We need to believe that God will pull us through whatever situation we're in. We need to believe His word. And whatever He says He's going to do, He does it, okay? And there's example after example in this Bible of him keeping his word. You know, and the reasons why people don't believe he can do what he can do. One of it's because of weak faith. People don't believe in him. People don't believe in God and what he can do because, for one, a lot of them are not saved.
Right.
And so many people have this problem because they can't see what he can do physically. You know, they sure can't see what he can do spiritually if you don't believe that he can do something physically. But, of course, there is physical evidence of what God can do. And the physical evidence I'm talking about in the world that's present right now is the Jewish people. This is his living example of what he can do. The Jewish people all throughout their history, they have been persecuted, they have been victim of genocide, all throughout history. No other race of people have been persecuted as much as the Jewish people. But back in Ezekiel, we have to turn there, in chapter 4, God prophesies that his people, the Jewish people, God's people, will one day become a nation. In 1948, God kept that promise and it was fulfilled. May 14, 1948, to be exact, the Jewish people became a nation finally again. That's literally proof of what God can do when this promise is being fulfilled. Now, one thing about this problem of sin that we have, it is a plague, it is a disease. None of us are immune to it, and it does not discriminate. From the young to the old, to the sick to the poor, to the healthy to the sick, it does not discriminate at all. And no one's immune from it, no matter who you are. Now, this woman with this blood disease was looked down upon amongst the Jewish society, okay? She was, to them, was unclean. She was probably bankrupt from all the money she spent on these physicians trying to be made better. It says right here in verse 26, and has suffered many things of many physicians, and has spent all that she had, it was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So right here, she spent all her money she had on this disease she had, which was sin. So, someone in her position was affected by sin. Then you have Jairus, who was, I'm pretty sure, was a wealthy man, who was looked at as someone high in the society. He was someone of authority. He was a manager of the synagogue. Like I said, the first year was a role model to many people. But both had this problem that of ugliness of sin that no one they knew could heal. Of course, but Jesus. That was a common cure for what they were going through at that time, was Jesus. And of course, it's only Jesus who can take away this ugliness of our sin, like he does when we're saved. And after he does this, this is when we establish that relationship with our Heavenly Father. And, you know, Jesus can cure everyone's disease of sin. Of course, no one could help them out this time, not the doctors, counselors, no man, no human being. There's no medicine here that they could take. But of course, again, like I'm trying to say, the answer was Jesus. No matter what kind of trials we go through, we need not to be afraid. A lot of times these trials we go through in these hard times, in these tests we're put through, it's because God wants to use us. We need to believe that, not be afraid of it whenever we have, of course, when we're being tested, when we're being tested at work, being tested by our friends, or whatever you have it. He's just trying to draw us closer to him. He demands his relationship with them. Another reason why we go through some of these hard times, okay? Because he wants to pull us closer, just like you want to have a good relationship with our children or our grandchildren. He wants to have that same type of relationship with us. You know, I love my children. I will sacrifice everything I have for them. But God does too, and God did do that. He did sacrifice his life for us, and he sacrificed his life for the church. You know, no matter what comes our way, of course, we need to, like I say over and over, we need not to be afraid. We must keep on keeping on. No matter what we go through, we're made fun of, we're mocked, we're called a fanatic. Even when people close to us choose not to be around us, you know, it is heartbreaking whenever, you know, a family member that we're close to, that we love, the minute we get into this Bible, the minute we are saved, we're changed, they want nothing to do with us. And it's sad, you know, but something we have to deal with. And it's also bad whenever you lose a best friend because of the Word of God, because our desires change. And you know. But it is worth it, though. Because these people we lose that once we go to Christ, what can they provide for us? Nothing. Take us out to eat, buy us something here and there. They can spend money on us. But what can Jesus offer us when we go to Him? Eternity in heaven. No one on this planet can give us that. No one ever can, never will, but Jesus. I'm pretty sure y'all's Christian walks have all lost somebody, you know. We've all lost somebody that we love, that we're close to. I'm a victim of that. The reason why we go through this is because this world we live in doesn't understand us. They don't believe what we believe. This world believes in evolution. This world believes in, you know, unmarried couples believe it's okay to live together.
Right.
For years and years before they even get married. They believe that going out and getting drunk every Saturday night, you know, they believe in doing this faithfully. But yeah, we're called fanatics because we go to church and we don't do this type of activity. You know. You know, some even think it's all right to cheat on your husband or your wife. Like, it's nothing. They also believe it's okay to say the Lord's name in vain, which is something no one should ever do. And some of the most common beliefs, I believe, why people reject Jesus or God, don't believe in. One of the main excuses I hear all the time is that they're not ready. But what they're not ready for. Not ready for heaven. Not ready to spend eternity in heaven. But they're ready to spend eternity in hell. So many people forget how fast and death can come to you, okay? They take it for granted. You know, death's not picky. It's not choosy. Just like sin. It can come for us at any time. It doesn't discriminate. In Hebrews 9:27, now as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, again, this is one of God's promises. His word, and He sticks to His word. It's true.
Right.
And so many people are willing to take this gamble. It's a gamble I don't want to take. I'm not going to take, and I haven't taken. Another reason why people are afraid, don't want to believe, is because so many fake Christians have really set the bad example for the rest of the world. Well, there's the liberal thinking, the liberal ideas. Really, just a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, the actions they do, their daily walk does not match what they say they do, what they preach. It causes more damage than good to anything. I see it. I see it at work. I see it on the streets. I see it everywhere. Pretty sure some of y'all see it too, here and there. And another reason why people are afraid and don't want to believe is fear. They claim they're afraid. They're afraid of people's opinions, what they think of them. People gossip behind their back. They're scared they might lose some friends, might lose some family. One thing is they're afraid they won't be able to do the things that they used to do before. Like smoking, gambling, drinking, having sex outside of marriage. So many people are scared to get rid of this plague of sin from taking that leap of faith and trusting in God. And it's sad. And one thing I know for sure is once you do, you know, when I started beginning these three things, once you do have faith in Jesus, you bow down and you give Him your life, He will change your desires. You know, so many people struggle with this fact right here that they don't want to give up their old life. But I promise you, once you do give your life to Him, He'll change those desires. You don't even realize you don't want to do this no more. You know, we've all been there. And one of the other parts I want to stress on is on verse 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she of age. She was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished and with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. I believe right here after I read this, it's really, you know, touched my heart too. That God commands the parents, even at a young age, people can be saved, 12 years of age. You know, it's on the parents right here to raise a child up in the Word of God, to make sure they're spiritually strong. They're not afraid of this world. They don't let this world affect them. And of course, this is, you know, even God says at the end of this right here. So, the point I'm trying to stress is we be not afraid and only believe, just like Jesus commands. It's a commandment right here. This is what I got when I read it. And this is what he spoke to me right here. That's it.
Thank you. All right. Man, that's his only second, third time that he's brought a message, and I've already seen some growth and some things that have been said tonight that's encouraged my heart. Amen. I remember preaching for the third time, and I was scared. Amen. But brother Chris has encouraged my heart tonight with just giving his word. You know, I asked an old man of God one time, I said, "What do you know what to preach?" And he said, "You preach what's in your heart." And that's all I tell Brother Chris to do. You just preach what's in your heart. Amen. You don't have to get up here and do this, that, and the other. Just preach what's in your heart. I got a few thoughts, though. Amen. Concerning the Word of God. In our text here tonight, did you notice that this woman who had the issue of blood was 12 years? With the issue of blood. And the damsel that died was 12 years old. I guess that's just a coincidence. Well, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the hearts of that family and the hearts of that woman. I mean, if you have to deal with something as an issue of blood, meaning that she was losing blood, and it was a 12-year issue, sickness. And then it says that she went to many physicians and got no help. And that happens a lot. There's some folks in this room that just may have, you've had 12 years of issues. And you've been to psychiatrists, you've been to psychologists, you've been to counselors, you've been to mom and dad and friends and church and pastor. And man, it just seems hopeless to you. It just seems like, well, how much longer can I go? I'm telling you, I'm getting tired. And then it said she spent all she had. So all that she did have, she done gave over. Because see, when we are in trouble or when we're in issues, we try to find every which way we can to fix it. Because that's what we do. And so she spent all she had. There's some of you tonight, you spent all that you had. And you're trying every which way. You're doing everything you can to resolve the issue. And you just can't get there. 12 years. Boy, I could just imagine. She said, "I just can't get there. I just can't get there." But you know what? Tonight, it wasn't the very prayer of her. I didn't hear that in her prayer. Matter of fact, I don't hear of a prayer here except that she said that if she can just touch his garments. She didn't say, "Lord, touch me and heal me. Lord, I've been waiting on you. Lord, I've been waiting for you. Lord, it's you that I've been kind of asking for." No, it wasn't all, not all. You know what it was? It was her that came to Jesus. She made the effort. She took the initiative. Tonight, if we're ever going to get healed of our issue, we're going to have to take the initiative. God has not left. He's here. We're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us. Amen? If she would have never pursued the Lord, she would have never been healed of that issue of blood. Tonight, I want to encourage you, if you're in any trouble tonight, any kind of problem tonight, any kind of disruption in your life, something that just seems to stick on and won't go away. Can I tell you tonight, you're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. And if you'd pursue Him tonight, if you would just let go and you go toward Him tonight and you say, Lord, if I could just touch Your garment, oh, there's no doubt what You can do in my life. I thought about this little girl, Jairus' little girl. I thought about how he comes and says to the Lord, Lord, you know, she's sick. She's about to die. I need You to come and touch her. Well, the Bible says that Jesus was walking with him and he got thronged. Man, the company of people just coming sort of took over. And that's when the issue of blood came about and he dealt with that. Then he came back to Jairus. And about that time, they said, oh, listen, there's no use, Master. She's dead. And I just want to make this point tonight and we'll close. When you think something's dead, when you think a relationship is over, when you think a marriage is crashed, when you think a child has got rebellious and stubborn and never to return, when you think that your life is done and over and it's completely shattered, Jesus. They said, she's dead. He said, no. So whatever tonight that you may be facing that you feel like it's just done. Don't want to live. Don't want to be married. Don't want to work. Don't want to do. Don't want to be. If you come to Jesus tonight, this is what He'll tell you. It's not over. With me, it's never over. One of the greatest things tonight that Jesus did right there is He raised the dead. You can't find that anywhere. This church can't do that. This pastor can't do that. Your friends and your mom and daddy and the ones you love the most cannot raise you from the situation you're in tonight. You may have given up. You may be discouraged and depressed. You may have said, listen, I just can't do this any longer. It's done. It's over. It's dead. I don't love them no more. I don't care. I want to quit. I want to leave. I'm through. But Jesus said, no. If you put me in the equation, if you allow me to be me in your life, be not afraid. Only believe. He raised her from the dead. But I'm going to tell you this other side. The Bible says that they mocked him. They laughed at him. Now, when you go back to your family and you go back to your friends, you go back to your coworkers, and you say, I've got a relationship that's dead, and I've got an issue in my life for 12 years, but I'm just going to go to Jesus with it. They're going to laugh. They're going to mock. They're going to look at you and say, boy, I tell you, you're crazy. You're a nutcase. That's the last person I'd run to. But friend, listen tonight. We see in the Bible two occasions. One who healed an issue of blood of 12 years and one who raised up a 12-year-old. Jesus can, if you will. As we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, will you tonight? Will you pursue the Lord? Whatever may be dead in your life, won't you come let God raise it up? Whatever sickness and disease that you have, for a long time you can't get over it. It might be a bitterness. It might be a hatred. It might be a disappointment. It might be a childhood. It might be something that happened years ago. It might be something pressing on the heart tonight. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. 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 The sweetest name I know. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how I love You. Well, Jimmy, you sing tonight. This is time tonight where you just have time with Jesus. Spend some time with Jesus tonight. Let Him comfort. Let Him meet the need. Let Him soothe the heart. Let Him raise you up tonight. Let Him heal that wound. Let Him mend that brokenness. Oh, let Him tonight. Let Jesus do His work. Let go and let God. Oh, precious Lord. How wonderful and great Thou art. Thank You for giving us hope tonight. Whether it's an issue of blood tonight or whether it's the death of a child, thank You for hope. Thank You, God, we can trust in You tonight. I know You're faithful. It's up to You, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, my Lord. God, help tonight. Oh, Lord. Father, raise up tonight. Raise up and heal tonight. Please. I beg You, my Lord. Yes, amen. Oh, Lord, help tonight. One more time, Brother Jimmy, and we'll close. Oh, if you have something tonight that's broken, something tonight that's dying, give it to God. Give it to Jesus tonight. He has the power tonight. He has the passion tonight. And the purpose tonight. Jesus, Jesus. What a Lord tonight. What a Savior. What a God. Nothing tonight. Nothing tonight that can be put forth to the Lord tonight that can be greater than a death and an issue of blood. He can handle all things and everything. Yes, amen. Oh, Lord. God, meet with Your children tonight. God, help us tonight. Hear Your voice. Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord. God, heal the sick tonight. God, mend the brokenhearted. Fix the broken tonight. God, repair tonight. God, may we hear Your voice. Let's be dismissed tonight in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy tonight, would you dismiss us? And tonight, Lord, just pray, Brother Jimmy, that God continue to work as we leave tonight.